Journal Radio, the Midwest's radio home for the outdoors. Online at sportingjournalradio.com.
Hi, welcome to the show. I'm Brett Amundson. Thank you for tuning in across the Sporting Journal Radio Network, online, sportingjournalradio.com, and by subscribing to that podcast on iTunes and with the various podcast apps on your phones. This week's show is brought to you by Lake of the Woods Tourism, Lake of the Woods Fishing going on right now on the Rainy River. We'll talk to Joe Henry about how things are up there. If you want to plan a trip, go to lakeofthewoodsmn.com. Or Devil's Lake is doing well too in North Dakota. Go to haybaleheights.com to plan your trip to go stay with our friends up at Haybale Heights. Maybe you want to do some duck hunting while you're up there too. Not a bad idea. Haybaleheights.com. All right, we'll talk to Doug Lear too and get an update from the North Dakota side of the Red River. Also, Chris Dohmeyer is the Ortonville Area Fisheries Manager. He's going to join us to talk about some proposed border water changes for South Dakota and Minnesota. They're talking about doing a continuous fishing season like North Dakota. I believe we got it with North Dakota and Wisconsin as well here in Minnesota. So we'll talk about some of those potential changes and how they might affect your angling time next spring on the border of South Dakota and Minnesota. This is the best time of the year, ladies and gentlemen. It's a hard time to decide whether you grab the shotgun or you grab the fishing rod. So many choices, and that's a great thing about Minnesota. There's so many options, whether it's waterfowl, whether it's upland birds, whether it's bow hunting. You can do a lot of things right now. My favorite time, if I could have fall 12 months out of the year, because for one thing, I don't like hot weather, that much. This is just the best time of the year. And we're going to talk about fall hunting right now and specifically the unofficial state bird of Minnesota, the ruffed grouse. And we'll talk about the woodcock too with the new president and CEO of the Ruffed Grouse Society, Ben Jones, who joins us now on the radio show. Ben, how are things?
Very well, thank you. I love that. The unofficial state bird. I'm standing in the state right now, my home state of Pennsylvania, that has the ruffed grouse as the official state bird. So that's pretty cool.
It is. Well, it's funny, you know, I always make jokes about ruffed grouse in Minnesota because it's so revered here. And I grew up hunting them as well, too. But the bird is so revered here that ruffed grouse hunters are almost happier when they don't kill one. Yeah, you know, when they go walking for them, if they see one or hear one, they're just happy, even if they don't bring any home, it seems like.
You know, and that's the case for me, too. My wife actually accuses me of trying to extend the hunting season, this in particular with deer season and trying to harvest a buck. Why is it that it's always the second to the last day when you kill a buck? I don't really think you're trying to kill one.
It's always nice to stay out there as long as you can, and if you can wait for a good one, it's great. But I'll tell you what, I like eating ruffed grouse, so I have a hard time. You know, I obviously enjoy the walk and like being in the woods and all that good stuff, but I like bringing them home, Ben.
I don't pass them up either.
Yeah. They are delicious. So let's talk. I know you just hunted in Minnesota. I want to talk about how that experience went and why you were here and all of that good stuff. But let's talk about Ruffed Grouse Society. First of all, congratulations on your new position there.
Thank you very much. I'm approaching 4 months in. So at this point, I'm nearly a veteran.
You still like the job then?
I love it. Yeah, that's a great job. I'm loving it.
So how did you get it?
Oh, my goodness. Well, so I've been involved in wildlife conservation and forestry. It's been a passion for me. I mean, as a kid, I remember having my nose stuck to the window waiting for my dad to get home from deer camp, my earliest memories, seeing if he got a deer and helping him skin whitetails, and then, of course, rabbit hunting and small game hunting with them. So hunting's always been a passion for me, and so I've been fortunate enough to make wildlife conservation and forestry into a career. And growing up here in Pennsylvania, I went to Penn State in wildlife and forestry, and then had a jaunt down in the deep south at Mississippi State and got involved with turkeys and habitat management and some prescribed fire stuff down there. And then made it halfway back home and worked through the University of Tennessee on a ruffed grouse research project. Again, looking at forest management and how we can actively manage forests for wildlife habitat. And in that case, our current topic of conversation was a ruffed grouse study. And got finished up there and was recruited back in my home state of Pennsylvania to work for the Pennsylvania Game Commission, which I did for 13 years. Became the agency's habitat division chief, where I oversaw management of all the state game lands, which is 1.5 million acres and a couple million acres of walk-in public access hunting land. So that's what I was doing when a friend of mine said, hey, I got this job posting you need to check out. And I was like, man, I'm not looking for a job. I got the best job in the whole world. And so I looked at this thing, and it was the Rough Grouse Society. And, of course, I know RGS well. And just thinking about the opportunities to spread some of what I've learned and build habitat partnerships and other states like Minnesota and Wisconsin and New Hampshire and North Carolina and wherever else, that's how it came to be.
Ben Jones, our guest, Sporting Journal Radio. He's the new president and CEO of Rough Grouse Society here, and was recently in Minnesota. You probably knew this already, but I don't know if you were here on the weekend, but did you enjoy hunting on a Sunday afternoon while you were here in Minnesota?
I didn't hunt on a Sunday afternoon. I ended up hunting on a Tuesday, but yeah, no doubt the Sunday hunting is a nice option.
Matt Soberg is a friend of mine, and I was surprised to hear when he told me that you can't. Is that right in Pennsylvania? You can't hunt on Sundays over there?
Yeah, we're holding on to that old tradition. Pennsylvanians are, I think it's our German lineage, but we're strong traditionalists here. And yeah, indeed, you cannot hunt in Pennsylvania on Sunday still.
That's an interesting. I know there's been a lot of things closed on Sundays. I know North Dakota still has some of those laws in places, but I was surprised about a hunting restriction on a weekend day like that. But in any case, you did come over here on a Tuesday. What brought you to Minnesota, Ben?
Oh, it was a whole lineup of things. I wanted to get to Minnesota because I know how many opportunities there are to partner on habitat projects and a lot of stuff going on. And I wanted to get up there and check things out before our National Grouse and Woodcock Hunt, which is up in the Grand Rapids area here. I'll be leaving next week. And so just had a bunch of people to meet, from chapter volunteers and important people on that perspective all the way up through to DNR representatives and biologists, and just was back to back all 4 days I was up there.
Now, had you spent much time in Minnesota before?
This was my first time in Minnesota.
Oh, what'd you think?
I loved it. I had a great time. Riding around, just everything looks, as I call it, gamey.
Yeah.
You know, you're looking at the ground and the cover, and of course seeing whitetails everywhere and seeing turkeys around, and the grouse and woodcock covers were beautiful. So yeah, it was an awesome time. I can't wait to come back.
You decided to move to Minnesota then? Is that what I heard you say? Or
I'm thinking about it. I didn't want to be presumptuous. I have to make sure y'all have me first, but oh, yeah. I liked it an awful lot.
Yeah. Well, did you see some birds? How was the hunt?
Yeah, the hunt was really good. And of course, it was the a few days before woodcock season opened. And we had a lot of woodcock encounters. I think we moved 25 woodcock on that day. And we got into some grouse as well. I believe we moved 7 grouse. Interesting thing there. We didn't have any singles. So the birds were still kind of bunched up, probably in those family units.
Sure.
So it was a bit like a needle in a haystack, but we did find several areas that had some broods in them and moved some grouse. But yeah, the number of which these would be resident woodcock that we moved was really encouraging.
Well, it's interesting that you bring that up about the broods with rough grouse, because I've heard that from some other grouse hunters around Minnesota. And we had such a weird late spring this year and a long winter. It seemed to affect everything. Our Canada goose hatch wasn't very good. It seems like the duck numbers are a little bit better, but it seemed like a lot of things were affected. The deer, we were still seeing spotted fawns here a couple of weeks ago, so it was a pretty late hatch or birthing for those deer as well. So I'm assuming the grouse are maybe affected by that too.
Yeah, you'll have these annual fluctuations, and you see a lot of forecasts made about spring weather and changes this way or that way. But grouse evolved with this stuff, and they're really resilient critters, and they have ways adapting to these things. So, but from what we saw, all the birds were good sized and healthy. So it looked promising to me.
Now, how do you think the hatch compared to what you're seeing over in Pennsylvania there?
I really don't have enough intel on hatch conditions, and actually haven't seen any data from Minnesota, nor have I seen any from Pennsylvania either. So I really couldn't comment on how the hatch looked.
Well, I'll tell you what, sorry to cut you off there, but they may be maybe a little gun shy to put out any numbers here in Minnesota. You know, Ted Dick is who kind of referred me to you for the radio show. And I know he took some grief. Was it last year or the year before? I can't remember. They put out this great forecast for rough grouse hunting in Minnesota. And the hunting was tough. And he had kind of took the brunt of the criticism on that. So they, and I'm guessing there was a pretty big hailstorm that rolled through, and I'm guessing there were some weather events that affected after they had their survey. So, you're going to have that from people a little bit. It's so tough putting out those numbers because you're still talking about a wild animal.
Well, yeah. Well, Ted and I talked about it, and it's really a losing proposition, or, you know, at best a 50-50, because there are so many things that affect this bird that's out in the environment every day, and chicks are on the ground, all the way up to things you might not normally think about. What was the snow depth the previous winter? And here in the Appalachians, it seems to be related to what was the acorn crop the prior fall, with what kind of shape those chicks are in to get through the spring. So it's really a coin toss, and there's never just one thing that can let you make a good prediction.
Right. I'm glad I'm
regardless,
not...
though, people should get out and hunt.
Yes.
Whatever the forecast says, you got to go hunting.
Absolutely. And I'm glad I'm not the one that has to make those forecasts. But we're talking with Ben Jones here. He's the president and CEO of Rough Grouse Society. I want to talk more about Rough Grouse Society, and we'll talk some more about grouse in general and woodcock too coming up. Can you stick around for a couple of minutes?
Absolutely.
More with Ben coming up, Sporting Journal Radio. Also talk to Joe Henry from Lake of the Woods. We'll get a fishing and a waterfowl report from Lake of the Woods. With Joe coming up, we'll hear from Doug Lear from the North Dakota Game and Fish Department, and Chris Dohmeyer from Ortonville, the area fisheries manager. Potential rule changes on the border waters with South Dakota about a continuous fishing season. More details about that all on the way.
Right now is the time to plan your next fishing trip. This year, make the trek to legendary Devil's Lake. Whether you want to fish walleyes on a summer afternoon or perch out of a heated snow bear in the winter, Hay Bale Heights Campground and Resort can make it happen. Hay Bale Heights on Devil's Lake offers year-round lodging and guided fishing packages, perfect for the next family trip or corporate outing. To learn more, search Hay Bale Heights on Facebook or visit haybaleheights.com. That's haybaleheights.com.
Hey, anglers, looking for a destination where walleyes, fresh air, and fish fries are a way of life? Look no further than the famous waters of Lake of the Woods. From Bedette and the Rainy River to the main lake up to the Northwest Angle. Here, you'll enjoy the best walleye catch rate in the state. Maybe you'll pursue world-class sturgeon, pike, or muskies. Plus, you'll find lots of full-service resorts offering charter boats, delicious meals, and lots of Minnesota nice. Come experience the walleye capital of the world. Come experience Lake of the Woods. Catch the details at lakeofthewoodsmn.com. All right, we're back. Sporting Journal Radio, heard across the Sporting Journal Radio Network, online, sportingjournalradio.com, or by subscribing to the podcast in iTunes or with the various podcast player apps. Our guest right now is Ben Jones, a new president and CEO of the Rough Grouse Society and the American Woodcock Society. We don't want to leave out Woodcock in this conversation as well. He's in Pennsylvania, but was recently in Minnesota for a hunt over here before the woodcock season opened, but got out and chased some grouse around, and sounds like you enjoyed your time here in Minnesota, Ben.
I had an absolutely wonderful time.
Are you coming back then for that hunt in Grand Rapids?
Yeah, I'll be coming up next Thursday, getting ready for the National Grouse and Woodcock Hunt. It's one of our biggest events, bringing in supporters, one of our biggest events of the year. So I'm really looking forward to that.
I get excited about this time of year, and you know, with this weather, there's some colder weather moving through northern Minnesota this weekend, and I'm hoping it might take, as much as I like seeing the change of color and the leaves and all that good stuff, I like it better when the leaves come off the trees, and I'm hoping maybe this weather will knock some leaves down and that'll improve hunting a little bit.
Yeah, I actually should have asked you that right out of the gate. What's the situation with the leaves? Because they were full on when they were hunting up there around the 18th of September.
Yeah, they're still up for the most part, but they're starting to come down. And there is sounds like the forecast for this weekend for northern Minnesota is below, maybe even getting down into the upper 20s. And then some potential snowfall. And I haven't looked at wind speeds or anything like that, but I'm assuming it's going to knock a few leaves off the trees.
Now we're talking.
Yeah, that's right. Whether you like to grouse hunt or bow hunt. It's funny, you know, Ben, I grew up hunting grouse. I spent a lot of time in northwestern Wisconsin. We had a cabin in northwestern Wisconsin, and we grew up fishing and hunting up there and chased a lot of rough grouse around the trees in northwestern Wisconsin. And then I moved to western Minnesota in the prairie, and I'll tell you what, I got into pheasant hunting a lot more, and it's kind of fun to be able to actually see the birds when they fly. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah. All this practice that you do on the clays, you can actually put the use because you can see the bird and get your lead. Right. Sure.
I got so frustrated. I went back to the cabin a couple of years ago and I walked. As soon as I got out of the truck, I flushed three grouse before I even had my gun out of the case, you know, and then I walked for miles and miles and miles. And I heard grouse. I never saw them after that. And I said, I'm going to go back and do some pheasant hunting.
Yeah.
But so I want to talk to you about rough grouse, obviously, delicious birds, and they're so much fun to hunt. And they're so much fun to just to listen to the flush and the sound of those wings as they take flight. But I want to ask you a question about the cycle. Where are we at with the cycle, and what do you think affects that cycle? And do you have the same sort of situation in Pennsylvania that we have here in Minnesota?
Yeah, so the grouse cycle, you know, this is one of those things that when you get involved with wildlife biology, the more you learn, the less you know kind of thing. And it's been one of those mysteries that just doesn't want to let us in. And I think it's really because there are so many factors on the cycle. And I mentioned a little while ago about winter snows potentially affecting the number of birds available during the next year. I mean, that's one thing that's come out of the data as a possibility. I know I've seen some commentary about aspen and aspen response to grouse feeding on aspen buds as a potential explanation of the cycle, but it's one of those things we just can't quite put our finger on.
Where are we at right now? You know, I'm sure you do.
My understanding with the Minnesota cycle is that we're starting on, I'm going to get in trouble with that.
Well, if it's different from where you're at, then it's okay to not be completely sure. So you actually have, I suppose, the habitat and the conditions are different over there. Is it the same kind of a 10-year deal over there then too?
Yeah, in Pennsylvania, we haven't had as pronounced a grouse cycle as in up in the Aspen Range and Wisconsin, what you have in Minnesota and even in Michigan. We've had a weaker cycle, but it hasn't been as dependable here in Pennsylvania, nor has it been as pronounced a cycle throughout the Appalachian states, which Pennsylvania is kind of weird. The Keystone State, we've got, you know, a little bit of the Lakes states kind of forest and a whole bunch of the Appalachian type forests, but we don't have as pronounced a 10-year cycle here in Pennsylvania as you all do.
Ben Jones, our guest, Sporting Journal Radio. He's the president, CEO of Rough Grouse Society and American Woodcock Society. And I remember the first time I started hearing about RGS being being based in Pennsylvania and Pennsylvania being a rough grouse state, because I always thought of Minnesota and even Wisconsin and Michigan as kind of being the home country for the rough grouse. But talk about the range of rough grouse and just how far and wide across the country you can find these birds.
Yeah, so you all definitely are in the core of the range, and there's this link between rough grouse and aspen. As you know, it's such an important winter food when the birds are in the trees budding. And then, of course, aspen covers grow up thick, and that's what grouse looks like. So there's definitely a connection of the absolutely prime habitat for rough grouse being associated with aspen. But they also do well in all kinds of other mixed forests of appropriate climate. And what you see is grouse extending up into the New England states, and then into Pennsylvania, and then down the Appalachian chain. And what you see in the southern part of the Appalachians is that you have grouse, but only above about 4,000 feet in elevation. Hmm. And, you know, that's where that climate is, right? They're a boreal species overall. So in a place like Tennessee or North Carolina, they're only hanging on at higher elevations where you have cold winters and you have some snow depth.
Do you think we'd ever see something again where we trade rough grouse for turkeys with Missouri like we did in the 70s?
It's entirely possible if the states can come together with some kind of an agreement. There's been a lot of habitat work that was done in Missouri, and they've currently got an agreement with the state of Wisconsin to get some birds transported down there. And I'm not sure if there was any trade or what was bartered back and forth for those grouse, but some grouse this year have gone from Wisconsin down to Missouri.
Huh. Yeah. I'm surprised because, you know, nowadays it seems like it's, okay, this is what our native population is. We need to keep these isolated. We can't transport these across state lines, you know, or to different habitat areas. I'm surprised that that's still going on like that.
Well, it takes a lot of thought, and what they had done in Missouri was they did a whole lot of legwork on getting a bunch of habitat work done. There were some previous translocations of grouse in Missouri that didn't do so well because habitat was marginal. So with this round, they put a big push on, did thousands of acres of habitat work to get ready to receive those birds. So we'll see what happens. I hope it takes hold for them.
Well, habitat is the name of the game, whether you're talking rough grouse, woodcock, or even, you know, other wildlife species out there. And I know Rough Grouse Society is a key player in habitat creation and conservation. And if people want to learn more about RGS or become a member, if they're not already, where can they go to find out more info, Ben?
Well, on the interweb, of course. Check out the Rough Grouse Society on our website. You can find out what we're up to there, and love to have you as a member. And then you can get our magazine and keep up to date quarterly on what we've got going on.
Absolutely. Well, roughgrousesociety.org is the website. Congratulations again on the new job, and thanks for the time here on Sporting Journal Radio.
Thank you, Brett. Thanks for the opportunity.
Ben Jones, new president and CEO, Rough Grouse Society. Coming up, Chris Dohmeyer is going to talk about some new border regulations on the waters between South Dakota and Minnesota. Joe Henry's got a Lake of the Woods report for us, and we'll check in with Doug Lear from the North Dakota Game and Fish Department.
I've had enough of this continual rain. Changes are coming, no doubt. It's been a too long time. And I'm ready for the times to get better. You seem to want from me what I cannot give. I feel so lonesome at times. I have a dream.
Hey, anglers, looking for a destination where walleyes, fresh air, and fish fries are a way of life? Look no further than the famous waters of Lake of the Woods. From Bedette and the Rainy River to the main lake up to the Northwest Angle. Here, you'll enjoy the best walleye catch rate in the state. Maybe you'll pursue world-class sturgeon, pike, or muskie. Plus, you'll find lots of full-service resorts offering charter boats, delicious meals, and lots of Minnesota nice. Come experience the walleye capital of the world. Come experience Lake of the Woods. Catch the details at lakeofthewoodsmn.com. Right now is the time to plan your next fishing trip. This year, make the trek to legendary Devil's Lake. Whether you want to fish walleyes on a summer afternoon or perch out of a heated snow bear in the winter, Hay Bale Heights Campground and Resort can make it happen. Hay Bale Heights on Devil's Lake offers year-round lodging and guided fishing packages, perfect for the next family trip or corporate outing. To learn more, search Hay Bale Heights on Facebook or visit haybaleheights.com. That's haybaleheights.com.
You're listening to Sporting Journal Radio.
It's been a too long time, with no peace of mind. I'm ready for the times to get.
And we're back, Sporting Journal Radio, the Midwest's radio home for the outdoors. I'm Brett Amundson. Thanks for tuning in across the Sporting Journal Radio network, online, sportingjournalradio.com. And you can subscribe to that podcast with iTunes or the various podcast players on your phones, whether your iPhone or Android or anything like that. You should be able to search for it, find it, and listen to it whenever you want to. All right, got an email the other day from Chris Dohmeyer. He's the Ortonville Area Fisheries Manager about some proposed changes on border waters with South Dakota. So I asked Chris to be on the show to clarify. Thought we'd maybe talk a little bit of fishing. Chris, how's it going? Thanks for joining us on the show.
Yeah, thank you. It's going pretty good.
Have you been out this time of year? Have you been out hunting or fishing at all?
A little fishing, but not as much hunting. I like to fish in the fall. There's less competition. Everyone else is hunting.
Yeah, I know. It's always the struggle, and we talk about it on the show all the time. Which one do you reach for as you're walking out the door, the fishing rod or the 12 gauge? And I like to try to fit them all in if I can.
I hear you. I tend to do whichever one more people are not doing.
That's not a bad idea. Yeah, so this proposed change. So let's talk about Big Stone and Traverse and some of those border waters that we have here with South Dakota. Because first of all, let's just talk about what it's like right now. Because after that email, I was looking into it a little bit, and there were a couple of things that surprised me. Now, granted, I'm not too far from Big Stone. I fish it once in a while. Maybe I should fish it more often. But this was an interesting rule to me that I didn't realize. And maybe you can help me clarify, because as of right now, a South Dakota resident with a South Dakota license has to enter from the South Dakota side and fish the South Dakota side. Minnesota resident has to enter from Minnesota and fish the Minnesota side. But any non-resident with either license from states other than South Dakota and Minnesota can fish wherever and go in the lake wherever?
I think yeah, it caught me off guard a little bit. I think as far as Minnesota and South Dakota residents, as long as you have to have your respective state's license. As long as you have that, you can enter the lake from either side and fish the lake through its entirety. But if you're not a Minnesotan or a South Dakotan, you can have a license from either Minnesota or South Dakota and also fish throughout the lake and enter it from both sides.
Okay. Well, I was reading the South Dakota fishing regs, and there was some interesting stuff in there. So I would just always tell anybody that's going to go fish, especially new waters, check your regs, of course, and figure it out. But more importantly, let's talk about what the proposed change is, Chris.
Okay, presently on the Minnesota-South Dakota border waters, there is a closed season for walleye, pike, and bass. And the season is closed during March and most of April. It generally opens up, or it does open up on the Saturday closest to April 21st. So this proposed change will take away the closure and the season for those species, along with the other species, will be year-round.
Okay, so that's because South Dakota doesn't close generally the rest of the state, right?
That is correct.
And obviously Minnesota does, so I'm sure that was some sort of compromise that's been in place for a while. So now this proposed change would eliminate that closure.
That is correct. And it would, right now, things are on track for the change to occur in 2019.
Okay, so it would start up right away. So has there been frustration over this closure, or what? Why the proposed change?
This was initiated by the South Dakota Citizens Commission that kind of oversees their game and fish regulations in the state. They asked the committee, I guess, of game managers, and I think maybe some citizens, I'm not sure who was all on that committee, to come up with potential regulations that are not necessary that could be removed so people would have more opportunity and less confusion with regulations. And this is one of the items that was identified.
Okay. And has there been any studies on what kind of impact that might have?
We have a fair amount of creel data on the lakes out here on the border waters. We've done several creels because they were part of a special regulations evaluation once upon a time also. So we have decent data, and there's pretty good agreement amongst biologists that there are no biological effects by going to a continual season, and that's the number one concern we have at first. And after that, it becomes more of a social issue.
Sure. Chris Domeyer, our guest, Sporting Journal Radio, talking about the border waters with South Dakota, hearing some proposed changes to open up a continuous fishing season. Now, this would cover Big Stone, Traverse, Boyd to Sioux. What all does this cover?
Yeah, those ones, and then Lake Hendricks, also down by Hendricks, is another one that would be included in that.
Oh, sure.
And Mud Lake, which is kind of a shallow basin that's north of Lake Traverse before the Boyd to Sioux starts.
Okay. Well, I'm kind of excited because I can imagine spring fishing on Big Stone would be pretty good, Chris.
It can be, and it's really weather related. So, one thing we've seen with the traditional openers is you can have a complete, blowout or even a snowout some years.
Sure. So
this will kind of allow people that option to pick a nicer weekend, you know, to come out fishing, because you can have some of your nicest weather in early April, you know, versus late April. It's so variable, you never know what you're going to get on the opening weekend. So it'll be nice from that aspect, and it will also kind of spread that pressure out some. Instead of having that really big, you know, boom on opening weekend, you'll see people coming and kind of going at their leisure.
This is similar to what Minnesota has with North Dakota, right?
Yes. I do believe all of our borders are open year-round with the bordering states. Canada is a different issue up there.
Yeah, they've got that closure on the Rainy. I know they're talking about some changes up there on the Rainy River as well, too. A lot of changes going on with the border waters. I bet your DNR meetings have been interesting lately.
Yeah, they always are. And I always kind of ask people to, you know, to call us and talk to us the minute they hear about something. This process is always a public comment process, and it's open until October 29th. And I ask folks, you know, call me, come in and talk to me. Get educated on it before you maybe rifle off a comment. It's good to have all the information on what's going on, and spend some time thinking about it before you make decisions or comments. I've, you know, many times I look back in my life where I was thinking, God, I wish I would have thought about that for a day or two, you know, before I made a comment. So there's plenty of time to think it over before you people that want to weigh in, we definitely want their comments. And, all I'm asking is make sure you're, you know, informed and educated before you do anything too quick, I guess.
People always take a moment to breathe before they vent about the DNR, don't they? Come on. are you hearing negative feedback about this?
Not much, just a little. And I think the negative feedback I've had is there's some concern, I would say, by more local anglers that this may, increase pressure overall on these waters. And my thought is kind of what I've seen from angler behavior over the years is like I said, you get that big rush on opening weekend anyhow, because we do open up earlier than the inland waters. But this will spread that out more, and people will kind of pick and choose their times. And you won't see that huge influx of people on that one weekend anymore.
Talking about border waters with South Dakota and Minnesota and a proposed continuous season with Chris Stohlmeyer here. He's the Ortonville Area Fisheries Manager on Sporting Journal Radio. So this could take effect starting in 2019, you said. So a comment period is open for how long?
It's open until October 29th, 4:30 p.m. And the best place to, you know, to find more information is the Minnesota DNR website. There's a tag on the left side of the page that says public input. Follow that to rulemaking, and underneath rulemaking, fisheries. And then there's going to be a tag that comes up for Minnesota, South Dakota border waters. And if you can't find it, by all means, give me a call.
So if this goes through and everything's fine and it doesn't affect the fish population on those border waters, is this going to give some Minnesota residents some ammunition about just going with a continuous season statewide, Chris?
You know, that's, and I kind of figured you'd bring up that question. That's a contentious one, as you well know.
Oh, yeah.
But it's, I would say as time goes on, there's always discussions around that, you know, going on. And again, I think in Minnesota, a lot of it is also based off of, the big opening weekend has a big economic impact.
Yeah.
So there's social arguments for it. And there are some biological arguments at places where we have some huge concentrations of spawning fish, which could be protected, obviously, with specific rules. So, yeah, I would say there's going to be continual dialogue on the potential.
I think we should open it up year-round on Mille Lacs. Would you like to comment on... No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding.
Yeah, Mille Lacs is... You know, Mille Lacs is a complicated one, and the reason it's so complicated, and I tell people this on Mille Lacs and other lakes that have commercial gill netting, or not commercial, but that have gill netting, banned harvest gill netting, it gets very complicated to manage a fishery where you're using a harvest method that isn't, you know, forage related. On our lakes that you're just looking at hook and line anglers, the bite is so forage related that hook and line anglers are kind of the outlet, as I see it, for the predator populations. And they're going to go up and down, and we expect that, and that's not a bad thing.
Right. All right, Chris Stohlmeyer, Sporting Journal Radio. I want to talk more about the Marsh Lake Dam project. I think we'll do that next week here on the show. Is that all right? Can you come back next week?
Sounds good.
All right, this is Sporting Journal Radio. Joe Henry's got a Lake of the Woods report for us next, and we'll check in with Doug Lear from the North Dakota Game and Fish Department.
Hey, anglers. Looking for a destination where walleyes, fresh air, and fish fries are a way of life? Look no further than the famous waters of Lake of the Woods. From Bedette and the Rainy River to the main lake up to the Northwest Angle. Here, you'll enjoy the best walleye catch rate in the state. Maybe you'll pursue world-class sturgeon, pike, or muskie. Plus, you'll find lots of full-service resorts offering charter boats, delicious meals, and lots of Minnesota nice. Come experience the walleye capital of the world. Come experience Lake of the Woods. Catch the details at lakeofthewoodsmn.com.
Right now is the time to plan your next fishing trip. This year, make the trek to legendary Devil's Lake. Whether you want to fish walleyes on a summer afternoon or perch out of a heated snow bear in the winter, Hay Bale Heights Campground and Resort can make it happen. Hay Bale Heights on Devil's Lake offers year-round lodging and guided fishing packages, perfect for the next family trip or corporate outing. To learn more, search Hay Bale Heights on Facebook or visit haybaleheights.com. That's haybaleheights.com.
You're listening to Sporting Journal Radio.
We're back, Sporting Journal Radio, the Midwest's radio home for the outdoors. I'm Brett Amundson. Thank you for tuning in across the Sporting Journal Radio Network. Visit by subscribing to the podcast and any of the various podcast apps so you can listen online at sportingjournalradio.com. I'm going to talk to Joe Henry now from Lake of the Woods Tourism. He knows a thing or two about border water regulations and restrictions. And we were just talking about some other ones, the South Dakota border waters with Minnesota. And Joe, you've got some potential changes taking place with your border waters too.
Yeah, we sure do. Yep. You know, we have the DNR has put out a couple of proposed limit changes or rule changes on Lake of the Woods for the upcoming year. And what they're going to do is, just because they're seeing fewer and fewer mature male walleyes in the river, they want to make sure that that river, which is only one little portion of where the fish spawn on Lake of the Woods, but nonetheless an important part, they want to make sure that the you know, mature male walleyes are in good population. So what they're going to do is say, hey, we're going to keep it open to a catch and release season open only. That's one proposed change. And, you know, another one is, with great ice fishing we've had the last couple of years and the good ice conditions, we've actually had about 2 million angling hours on the ice each of the last 2 years. And the DNR thinks that, hey, we're just putting quite a bit of pressure on those saugers. So they're going to drop the limit of walleyes and saugers in the winter, which is kind of a higher limit anyway. And they're going to drop it down to equal the summer limit of walleyes and saugers on Lake of the Woods. So it'll be the same all year long. And the current limit for walleyes and saugers in the winter is a combined limit of 8 fish. Up to 4 of those can be walleyes. They're going to drop it to a combined limit of 6 fish. Up to 4 of those can be walleyes. So really what they're doing is they're saying that, you know, 2 less saugers per person per day.
And there's another public input meeting coming up on that?
There is, yeah. There's a public input coming up in Bedette on the 8th of October at 6 p.m. And, you know, if anybody wanted to attend that, they certainly can. It's open to the public. You can also, you know, email the DNR with any comments you might have. But yeah, this has been out there for a while, so the DNR has received lots of different comments, and most of them being positive, because most people want sustainability of the resource, and that's first and foremost on the plate.
Well, everybody gets excited about spring fishing on the Rainy for good reason, but maybe people should get more excited about fall fishing up there too, Joe.
Oh, I tell you right now, it's just happening right now. You know, when somebody says, well, hey, Brett, man, you know what I'll do is, when those walleyes start running in the Rainy River this fall, I'll give you a call. Well, you know what? If I didn't call you, Brett, this is your call.
This is the call. I mean, all right, I'm on the way.
This is it. Yeah. The shiners have been running now for about 3 weeks or so, and the walleyes are starting to infiltrate the Four Mile Bay and the Rainy River. And just had a couple good reports yesterday. Talked to somebody who was out on the lake, caught them out in the lake out in front of the Lighthouse Gap, which is where the Rainy River dumps into Lake of the Woods. They caught them out there in the deeper water, because there's a ton of water walleye staged out there. And then they also slid into the river just to check things out and caught some real nice 16 to 19 inch walleyes in the river, enough so that they said we could have spent our day in the river. I got a second report of somebody that went out this morning and fished Four Mile Bay, and in just a little over an hour had 2 limits of fish. So the walleyes are coming in the river strong. They're feeding. It's go time, and it's just a fun time. I mean, between, you're a hunter, I mean, between watching the migration of ducks and geese, beautiful colors, slow moving river, small water because it's not real wide in any one place on the Rainy River. You could do that in a 16-foot boat. I mean, it's just really a fun time.
Joe Henry, our guest from Lake of the Woods Tourism on Sporting Journal Radio, talking about fall fishing on Lake of the Woods and the Rainy River right now. And one thing I've always liked about fishing on the Rainy, you know, normally the spring is kind of what I imagine when I think of this, is fishing in open water with snow on the banks on each side. And Joe, that might happen this weekend.
Yeah, it could. You know, I think we're supposed to get down to around 29 or 30 degrees one evening. And, you know, technically, if we get some precipitation, it could be a little bit of snow. And, you know, everybody gets kind of excited for the first snow. Some people get real depressed. But to me, it's kind of fun. It's kind of fall. And, you know, hey, we're pretty far up in Minnesota. We're in the Canadian border, and it's just part of it. And, you know, it's also why we have such good, consistent ice fishing, is because being a little bit further north, you know, even on a warm ice here, we have good ice, good consistent ice. And but yeah, we could get some snow, and if we do, it's going to push some of those ducks. It kind of makes for some good photography, you know, holding the walleye with a few snowflakes in the background. You know what, makes me want to grow my beard out a little more.
Right. Well, I'll tell you what, you brought up a good point there, because if I didn't have plans this weekend already, I'd think about maybe targeting that area, maybe to do some duck hunting, because some of that weather definitely could be pushing some of those birds down. And it sounds like you guys are seeing some divers up on the lake already.
Yeah, there are. There's some bills that are congregating on the lake. And usually when there's bills, there's, you know, buffleheads and some redheads and other species as well. And yeah, you know, there's been some reports from the charter boat captains of bluegills, you know, coming across the lake. And, you know, a lot of times what will happen, Brett, is, you know, it's almost like a little flyway Lake of the Woods is within itself between the lake and the Rainy River and such. So, you know, you can hunt ducks, heck, in Four Mile Bay, which is, you know, great big open, almost like a big inland lake at the mouth of the Rainy River, and it connects over to Bostic Creek. Big area full of, you know, of reeds, shoreline reeds. And really, I mean, I've gone out there and hunted already. It's so easy. You know, obviously you got to have some birds around, but, you know, go in those reeds with a 16-foot boat and throw two different groups of decoys and leave a spot in the middle and hang on. And it's amazing how many different kind of birds you can shoot. But, you know, there's that. There's Swift Ditch. There's Bostic Creek. There's Zipple Bay. There's up at the northwest angle. They literally hunt off of rock islands up there, you know, through different chutes off of points. And up there, when the you know, divers are coming down, it's just stupid. I mean, just stupid how many birds you have flying by you.
Joe Henry, our guest, Sporting Journal Radio, talking about duck hunting up on Lake of the Woods. And, you know, one other side effect of this colder weather that we might get this weekend and, you know, some of this potential snowfall, it could get better for other hunting could get better for other species too. And that could start knocking some more leaves off the trees, which makes the grouse hunting a little bit better.
Yeah.
And I know guys have been already chasing grouse around up there.
Absolutely. Yeah, you're so right. I mean, even bow hunters, both grouse hunters and bow hunters like it when those leaves start falling off the trees, because they can see better in the woods. And yep. And, you know, we have, you know, one thing coming from central Minnesota, one thing that really, really intrigues me about Lake of the Woods County is that there's literally hundreds of thousands of acres of public forest that you can hunt. And a lot of the forest is extremely accessible because there's dirt roads going through it. There's walking trails. There's ATV trails. And, you know, one spot is Beltrami Island State Forest, which is just kind of south and west of Vidette. And, you know, another place is Pine Island State Forest, which is just a little bit east of Vidette. And both have a lot of birds. You know, rough grouse are the go-to. You also have your spruce grouse. And then if you get on the fringes of the agricultural area, you get your sharpies, your sharp-tailed grouse. And it's beautiful. There's a lot of land to hunt, a lot of land to move around. If you're not real mobile, you know, maybe you have a disability, or maybe you're a little bit older, you know, road hunting can be very good up there. Obviously, you have to follow the Minnesota regulations, but there's a lot of birds you can see right from the road. And I mean, a lot of opportunities, put it that way.
I want to plan a trip, Joe. I know we're talking, we've got some things in the works again, but I want to plan a trip where we come up there. We catch walleyes in the morning. We do a triple crown. We shoot, find a sharp tail, a spruce grouse, and a rough grouse. It may take us a couple of days to cover all that ground, I suppose, if we got to go from one end to the other, but maybe not. But I think that would be cool to try to find all three.
Well, and you know, I tell you, to add to that, we could really make it fun and really make it challenging. We could say, all right, let's go get our ducks in the morning, right at sunrise.
I like it.
And then what we'll do is one day we can go jump in a boat. We're going to get our walleyes. That's going to be a no-brainer this time of year. And then from there we can say, all right, do we want to grouse hunt the same day? Or do we want to say, all right, we whack ducks this morning, go walleye fishing. And then tomorrow we'll whack ducks in the morning and then go grouse hunting. And I'll tell you, the caveat for getting those grouse, I think the toughest one's probably those sharp tails.
Right.
And the reason I say that is because they tend to stick more towards that agricultural land. And with over 40,000 acres of ag land up here, you kind of got to know where they're living and also get permission to get that ag land. But it's very doable. And, you know, I've had different media and stuff up and they've said, man, we've had some of the best sharpie hunting we've ever had.
Yeah, and you know, there's a lot of grouse hunters in Minnesota. Not a lot of them have shot sharptails in this state, and not a lot of them target it when you got rough grouse or just so you know, some people hold those so much higher. But sharpies are fun, and I actually got to do that last year up in northern Minnesota. Finally got to shoot some Minnesota sharptails, and so I think I can be fun. I think we should talk, Joe.
I'll tell you what. I know there's a lot of sharpies around this spring. You know, the DNR has a couple of different ground blinds. They allow you to the sharpies dance in the spring. And, you know, I participated in that this year, and there were sharpies everywhere where we were at. And so I know they're around. I know there's a decent population.
Yeah, and that's always really cool to do as well. I always recommend people go do that, whether it's sharpies or even prairie chickens or whatever. All right, Joe, if people want to get up, maybe they want to start thinking about an ice fishing trip to Lake of the Woods, where can they go to find out more info?
You can check out our Facebook page, which is, you know, Lake of the Woods Tourism. Otherwise, check out our website, and that is, you know, lakeofthewoodsmn.com.
The 2018 Watchable Wildlife Photo Contest deadline is coming soon. Hi, this is Doug Lear with your weekly North Dakota Game and Fish Department Outdoors Report. The deadline for submitting entries to the Game and Fish Department's annual Watchable Wildlife Photo Contest is October 1st. The contest has categories for non-game and game species, as well as plants and insects. An overall winning photograph will be chosen with the number of place winners in each category determined by the number of qualified entries. Contestants are limited to no more than 5 entries, which must be submitted via email only. Photos must have been taken in North Dakota. By submitting an entry, photographers grant permission to Game and Fish to publish winning photographs in North Dakota Outdoors Magazine on the department's website, gf.nd.gov, and on agency social media accounts. Photographers can send email digital photos to photocontest@nd.gov with individual photo file sizes limited to 5 megabytes or less. Game and Fish may ask for original full resolution images if needed for publication. All entries must be accompanied by the photographer's name, address, phone number, and email address. More information is available on the Game and Fish website at gf.nd.gov. That's this week's North Dakota Game and Fish Department Outdoors Report. I'm biologist Doug Lear.
You've been listening to Sporting Journal Radio, the Midwest's radio home for the outdoors, on the Sporting Journal Radio Network. To listen to this show again, get the latest hunting and fishing news and more, visit sportingjournalradio.com.